Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. I want to tell you, during my last hour interview with Billy and his father, Zora, of the Hollow Earth, all this beautiful angelic light came into the studios, and it's still vibrating in this beautiful white light around here. I think the studio could probably save electricity turning off their lights now, because we have so much angelic light around us, but it's really nice. Zora was doing a healing for different people, and he successfully healed several people. One lady with severe neck injury or severe pain, and I've invited Zora and Billy back a week from today at 3 p.m. Seattle time to do a healing for the Hopi with their water supplies. The water supplies are tainted with arsenic, and many people on the Hopi Reservation are dying of cancer. And we're all trying to help them out. I know that I'm having a show this hour will be on the efforts of Leon McLaughlin, Martha Childress, Michiko Hayashi, and myself to provide, especially Leon to provide and Martha to provide water filters to the Hopi so they could filter their water and get good clean water. But Zora indicated that he said he'd also like to help, so I'll be having him back on a week from today along with Vernon of the who's a Hopi elder, and we'll be doing a healing. That'll be from about 3 o'clock to 3:15 Seattle time 1 week from today. In the meantime, what I'd like to do is to thank everyone for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can and will make this world a much better place. I have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Lower Puget Sound area in Seattle. It's also available on YouTube, either under my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now about 50 episodes available on YouTube, and I hope you enjoy listening to that, watching that. I also like to mention that I have a wonderful psychic fair happening in Olympia, Washington on Saturday, January 20th. There will be over 25 vendors, ranging from psychic readers, crystal shops, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people. Michiko Hayashi will be giving a presentation as well on the Moto Peace Project, and I'll be there giving a presentation on messages from the masters. If you'd like to come, it's free. It's a free event. It's at the Washington RV Event Center at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia. And for more information, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend, Alexandria Bernards, who's going to be telling us about a wonderful conference in Hawaii coming up at the end of the month. Alexandra, hi. How are you doing today?
Hey. Hi, Ted. Really awesome. Thanks so much.
So good to have you on.
Yeah. Thank you. A lot of amazing things happening. And, thanks for introducing. It's the hands across the sand, hands connecting hearts across the land.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some dolphins and whales that were impacted over in Hawaii. And I guess maybe, Zora, you could answer, if it was, they thought it may have been some sort of military activities, but the whales ended up beaching onto the beach. And only five of them were able to go back into the water.
Did this happen recently, or?
Yeah, just a few weeks ago.
Well, a little bit of background. I don't have a lot of time to go into this, but back about, what was it? I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, then President Obama authorized the U.S. Navy to test their new sonar equipment on the whales and dolphins, killing many thousands of those in the ocean. As a result of that, I believe it was Friends of the Earth Legal Department brought a lawsuit against the U.S. Navy. And 2 years ago in Hawaii, there's a federal judge who ordered the U.S. Navy to stop it.
I had thought so also.
But the problem with the U.S. Navy is about half of it's controlled by the reptilians, and the use of the sonar is a way to kill off many of these beautiful whales and dolphins, because when you kill them off, they're the ones actually keeping the frequency high on this planet. So they want to, I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all for, for the Navy to do that. It's completely illegal. It's against a court order. So send me the details after we get off the air, because I really don't have time to go into that today. We've got other people.
I'm so glad that I was just lining up some sponsors for this event. We're bringing Michiko Hayatashi from Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
So we sure appreciate our listeners, to support the spirit of giving. We're going to show the power of love and gratitude is infinitely greater than anything
beautiful
that comes from the opposite. So mm-hmm. we're joining hands across the land and hearts across the land, because I touched my heart and I was listening to your, I was waiting to get on the call. You know, we have the power to change the weather. Today it was a beautiful sunny day where mm-hmm. I live, even though they're saying storms, this and that.
Right.
Touch your heart. I'm inviting the audience as we're speaking. Mm-hmm. Touch your heart and make an infinity sign. And we're asking the Ashtar Command, to really help us flip the switch, which is to bring in the unity consciousness.
Beautiful.
Because we are all connected, and we have enough of everything. We don't have to use fear to manipulate people.
Sure.
So, now is the time to celebrate the magic and the beauty and the magnificence of this great earth that we live on.
Oh.
And, people are reaching out to help one another. And so what we're going to do is invite as many people who would like to join us in Kauai. And right now the tickets are very incredibly affordable. So if you do live in a little bit cooler climate, come on out to Kauai. I'd like to formally invite Billy and Jane, Soraya, and Quasar. Come on out to Hawaii. We're going to line up on this beach to our audience today. We're just going to show that the power of love and gratitude truly is infinitely greater.
Beautiful.
And, that's beautiful. What most of us hold in our hearts. And so
Alexandra,
we're going to line up on the sand. So if you'd like to make a contribution to help support mm-hmm. airfare for our keynote speakers and the event, we mm-hmm. sure appreciate it. You can go to Ted's donation button, or mine on PayPal is Golden Era Media. Golden, GOLDEN, Era, ERA, and then media at gmail.com.
Beautiful.
And there's so much we can do, just by expressing our, decree that we declare peace
right.
on this earth.
Well,
and
this
love is the answer.
This is an event happening in Kauai, in Hawaii,
yes,
at the end of
Kauai,
the month.
It is. It's actually this first weekend of December.
Great.
Beautiful. December 2nd.
December
Saturday.
2nd. Beautiful.
Yeah,
beautiful.
At 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And we're getting our flyers ready. I also encourage you, wherever you are, to step out and create one of these events in your neighborhood.
Wonderful.
And the first weekend of December.
Could you give out your email so people could contact you? Because I need to go on to my next guest. Yeah.
Sure. I just want to let people know it's on Kapa'a Beach, which happens to have a 6-mile boardwalk.
Oh, wow.
So
beautiful.
So we're going to see how many people we can have join us.
Yeah.
Fun prizes for the participants.
Okay.
And my email is the same. It's Golden, GOLDENERAMEDIA, Golden Era Media, at gmail.com.
Okay, Golden Era. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Alexandra.
Oh,
I really, really appreciate it. And we'll have you on again next week. We'll talk about it then when I have more time. But I thank you.
So much.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
all
Alexandra.
Right.
Take care. Okay. Take care. All right.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm sorry we had to cut that short, my friends, but she's having a wonderful event for the Emoto Peace Project. Michiko Hayashi will be coming from Tokyo for that, and I will as well be coming out to give messages from the Masters, from Professor Albert Einstein and President Kennedy at the event. It'll be that first weekend in December, on Saturday, December 2nd, and other events are planned as well. For more information, please contact Alexandra at her email at goldeneramedia@gmail.com, or you can write me as well at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friends Martha Childress and Leah McLaughlin Are you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, good. And also, too, Eric, when you get a chance, we could bring on, is Michiko on, too?
Yeah.
Oh,
hi,
good.
Kid.
You're there. Good. Good.
Hi, everybody.
I didn't see Lenny flashing saying you were there, so I'm glad you're there.
I am.
Well, good. Well, good. I know it's early in the morning there in Tokyo, Michiko, so welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could come on.
Well, thank you so much. It's nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me again.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, let's start with Leon first, talking about the water filters, and then Martha, and then Michiko. I want you to talk about the work of Dr. Moto and how they can, how that your Dr. Moto's work can help the Hopi get some clean water. So, Leon, go ahead, please. Go ahead and start it off.
Well, we're doing some fundraising to provide the whole reservation for the Hopi tribe water. Mm-hmm. We already have put one water unit at the reservation for a school.
Good.
But we're planning on getting the whole reservation water because they have a problem with high levels of arsenic in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to provide a system where we can take that arsenic out of the water and get the children and their families clean, fresh drinking water.
Great, great. How nice. You know, I was at the Hopi reservation last week meeting with Vernon, and he talked about how there were communities, many communities on the Hopi Reservation who are drinking arsenic-flavored water, and many people are dying of cancer. And I asked him rhetorically, I said, how long do you think it would take if the congressional leaders in Washington, D.C. were drinking this water? And he said a New York minute, they would get it cleaned up. So
that's exactly right. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. He said it. He said he was funny. He said a New York minute, it would be instantaneous.
That is exactly right.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wonder how long it would take for the EPA's plan to get water with their $20 million plus budget, as opposed to how quickly you can do it, Leon, for $30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There was an attempt 2 years ago, by the way, that Vernon told me about, where they actually, the Hopi sued the federal government asking that they provide clean water, and a federal judge in Washington, D.C. turned it down, saying it wasn't necessary. So I wonder if he had to drink the water, how long, whether he would have made the same decision.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But
like you said, Ted, a New York minute.
A New York minute. And with that, I wanted to introduce everyone to Michiko Hayashi, who's the wonderful global director of the Moto Peace Project. And Michi, could you tell us a little bit about the work you do and your website, and how Dr. Moto and Vernon were friends and how your project can help them as well?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about Dr. Moto and Vernon. Vernon and Dr. Moto were like brothers. They used to say that they were brothers in their past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so Dr. Moto would go visit Vernon and Hopi people in Arizona. And also Vernon and his wife Becky would come to Tokyo or Japan, and they would go to Hitate Shrine that Dr. Moto opened up. Together also. So we did have a very strong connection and relationship with Vernon and Hopi people. Dr. Emoto tried to heal, and he did heal many different kinds of waters in Japan and in other places also by sending love and gratitude to water. Even with polluted water from radiation,
mm-hmm.
after the accident in Fukushima and some other places in around the world also,
sure.
So it's proven that our consciousness and beautiful energy of love and gratitude can heal water. And actually, yesterday I was talking with this movie director. His name is Tetsu Shiratori.
Wonderful man.
He's a man, a wonderful man. He made movies called Inori Prayer, and also another one called Sosei. That means revival,
mm-hmm.
of like planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And using the technology of vibration, our prayer. and also love and gratitude and EM, effective microorganism. And with all these technologies, we can just heal water of Hopi people that they have been affected by this negative pollution. So I'm happy that as part of this Emerald Peace Project America, we were being able to help Vernon and his beautiful people in Hopi. And thanks so much gratitude to Leon and Martha for helping those people with us.
Well, Mitchie, if you don't mind, I would love to have you lead a prayer where everyone around the world listening today could send love and light to the Hopi people for better water conditions.
Oh, thank you. I'd love to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you go ahead and lead.
Okay, I will play this tuning fork at 528 hertz and then start praying, offering love and gratitude. Okay,
wonderful.
Water, we're sorry. Water. Okay, go ahead.
Should we repeat
please.
This? Yes. Water, please, everyone, repeat this after us. Water, we're sorry. Go ahead, Mitchie.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
And please send a lot of golden energy, beautiful energy to people in Hopi and water in Hopi Reservation. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be having on Zora of the Hollow Earth. He wanted to come back and do a healing with Vernon, but Vernon didn't have time now, but I'm going to be having him on a week from today. Michiko, would you like to join Vernon and Zora in that healing?
I'm happy to. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I'll devote the first 15, 20 minutes of the 3 o'clock hour to that.
Okay.
Because Vernon wanted to do it today, but he's in another meeting. He's a busy guy.
Yeah.
But it all helps. Your prayers help. Everyone's prayers with Michiko's help really helps. But I know also that Martha and Leon, your efforts with your water filters really help too. And
right.
Leon, you know, they really help. And what can people do to financially help pay for I know you got costs for making these water filters. And tell us a little bit about that, Leon and Martha, about contributions. How can people help you out?
Go ahead.
Yeah, they can go to our website at www.cleanwaterfoundationwa.org, and they can help there and make a donation, and those funds will go for water units for the Hopi tribe. Martha has the Natural Choice Network, and a donation button is there.
Yeah, that we've got one at the website homepage at naturalchoice.net to make it really easy, too, for anyone if it's easier to remember.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
And there's also two radio shows in the archive that talk about it, too. So if you want to get more of the background and, you know, kind of how fun and how this all came together.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, because I'm sitting here right now looking out over the Columbia Gorge and the Columbia River, and while you were saying that prayer, I was thinking, wow, what a wonderful body of water to say that prayer over.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, some of the best water in the world there.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, we are all powerful spiritual beings, And Michi, I want to mention this and love to have you talk about it briefly if you like. There was an experiment that Dr. Moto did while he was alive back, I think, in 1999, where he took a bottle of radioactive water and he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle and also put on a beautiful love and gratitude water crystal. And could you tell everyone what happened after he did that?
Okay, that was really heavily polluted at that time. And so those people living in that area sent that water to Dr. Moto. Mm. So what he did was he put the word love and gratitude and also put the beautiful water crystal of love and gratitude, because at that time he already knew that this water crystal would change the structure of water at the molecular level. Restore it to a beautiful, beautiful crystal. So that's why he did it, and he left it for 48 hours. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he took another water crystal to check to see how it was restored, and it was just became beautiful, a water crystal. Wow. So that proved, in many cases, we have all these proof that love and gratitude do heal water, and it does heal our water within our body and environment and actual real water in the river, ocean, mm-hmm. lake, everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's why the filters and the systems that are going to the Hopi are going to have a dedication to Dr. Emoto, at least some of the countertop units, but we want to take advantage of that phenomena while mm-hmm. we're bringing clean water to the Hopi as well. So I think it's just a really beautiful combination. And the books, Michi, why don't you tell them about, how that's going to go along with, that's going to be a wonderful gift for the Hopi as well.
Oh, yeah, The Message from Water, the mm-hmm. children's book that shows how powerful our thoughts and words are and how beautiful love and gratitude is. And that's for the for children, but also adults can read it, and there's so much that everyone can learn. And the moment that they see all the beautiful water crystals of positive and beautiful, kind words, they just want to live in that state of being kind and living in harmony with love and gratitude with everyone else, and also with nature. So I think it's a beautiful gift that we can be given to people in the Hopi Reservation.
Well, I drove through the Hopi Reservation last week, and wow, it's such a beautiful area, very, very peaceful, very, very quiet. And the people were so friendly. I had such a nice time there. What was interesting, when I was driving through the Hopi Reservation late one evening, I looked at the environment around me, and I had been there a year previous to that in a dream. I remembered scenery, the few buildings I saw, the sagebrush, the sun going down, the whole scene I had experienced a year earlier, but I didn't know where I was. And that happened also about a year ago when I went to Peru recently. I was in the Sacred Valley, very close to Machu Picchu. And I was in the dream a year ago. I was in this taxi going around this corner, and then there was a beautiful valley before me. And last month when I was in Machu Picchu, I saw the scene unfold in this taxi. I was going to this little village newfound friends there. And I went around this corner in the taxi and I said, oh, my God, I've seen this before, a year before. So
it's all beautifully orchestrated. And, Leon, the night that Ted spent with the Hopi was the night that you were being honored at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. Unbelievable. We got some great energy going.
Right.
Great energy.
Right.
Just being orchestrated, huh?
Well, what I'd like to do, I just don't want to have just one show on this and then forget about it. I'd like to have all three of you back on with Zora, and Vernon's coming on a week from today. And let's have a little prayer session for 15 or 20 minutes. And
that would be
wonderful.
Totally awesome.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
I'll have one with Zora and Vernon. And then, Michi, I'd like to have you on, too, to do your own prayers with Leon and Martha and myself and all my listeners. So that would be, I think that would be a really good thing to do.
That would be wonderful because we're talking about.
It goes beyond the Hopi, too. I mean, we're hoping to raise the $30,000 for the Hopi, and then there's so many more in need all over the world. I think this is just the beginning of something.
As far as financially goes, I can sense the questions people are asking out there. How much does this cost to help them out? So is it $30,000 to get water filters for the entire reservation? Okay.
Yeah.
So people just donate, you know, $5, $10, $15, you know, that adds up really, really fast,
time
of year when people are thinking of what they can do. And every single one of those dollars is going to, you know, go direct to the source.
Well,
that's wonderful.
You know, we like to pride ourselves here in the United States on equal rights and treating people with respect. But I can't believe that I'm so happy that you're all doing something about it now, because I letting people drink arsenic water when you know they're getting cancer is not an acceptable situation.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
And when William Clark came down and, you know, met the Snake River and came into the Columbia, it was the Indians that saved them.
Wow. Amazing.
And I bet, you know, the last thing
amazing
that he would want is for them to be deprived of water.
Oh, absolutely.
And any of the indigenous.
Oh, wow. Well,
exactly.
Well, I want you all to come back a week from today, and we'll all have you on, and except this time we'll also have Vernon on to join with Zora at the beginning of the show. And Zora said he wanted to do some prayers to clean up the water, so I said, great. He just didn't. He needed Vernon on the show to do that properly, and Vernon.
That would be awesome. I think that's the perfect piece. It's just like Martha said, when you were down there, I was being honored at the Gates Foundation, and we just had Barron's Restaurant, which is in the W in Bellevue, call me this week and say, let's do a big fundraiser at the restaurant here, and we're going to be teaming up with you to bring water unit to the Hopi tribe and children around the world. So we are already getting some major people getting involved. Waste Management, they joined us. GoDaddy is joining us. So
really?
It's
excellent.
We're getting some pretty cool organizations that's going to join us on this mission to bring clean, fresh drinking water to the children and their families and the Hopi reservation and around the world.
I have a suggestion. Mm-hmm. I am coming to Seattle in January or in March or so. At that time, maybe we can do some kind of event to do the fundraising for Hopi people.
Perfect.
Maybe.
Absolutely.
Let's,
well, hopefully we'll have it by then, but we'll just do it for Mexico and beyond, like we said.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
And the problems that are going on with the First Nations up in, you know, British Columbia, too. I mean, you said, no pun intended, it's just a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we can probably dedicate 1 or 2 days to do that?
Absolutely.
No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Maybe the
Let's
week of
that.
January 15th would be a good time.
Yep.
Good. Sure, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay, good, good. Well,
yeah, we'll definitely put that together. That's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Well, all the details of that will be shared, of course, on my program here. And so...
we'll all spread the word, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. I've got a pre-recorded interview that where Vernon's talking about the Hopi water issues. And what I'd like to do is play that in a few minutes, but I'd also like to give a couple of minutes to you, Michiko, Leon, and Martha to wrap up your wonderful interviews today, and then I'll go on to play this pre-record. Go ahead. You first, Leon.
Well, I'm happy to be part of this mission. Like I said, we've been providing water in 21 different countries. And I'm really happy to be on this mission to bring clean, fresh drinking water to the Hopi tribe and get them that water as soon as possible. So between the people that we're bringing on board now and others that will be joining us, this is going to be a great project, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Wonderful. What's interesting, something that I learned when I was down at the Hopi Reservation last week, is that the Department of Interior has paid for clean water systems, but only two places on the Hopi Reservation. That's at the hospital and at the school. And for everywhere else, they've refused to pay. So,
wow.
Anyway, misplaced priorities. And Martha, go ahead, please.
Well, I mean, this is just such a great example of how people can get together and collaborate and bring solutions so much easier than waiting for anything to come down through policy or the top down. And it's a real demonstration that, you know, feels good to do and to be a part of as well. I mean, there's just as much joy in doing this as I'm sure there will be joy in receiving the fresh water. and everybody, so everybody can participate in it. You know, whether you're just donating a few dollars or helping with an event, have a bake sale, you know, anything, everything helps. And what a beautiful thing. I mean, if we have anybody, any population to give back to in the United States, it's the Native American, and the Hopi are the center of that. So, like I said, I think this is just a drop in a beautiful, beautiful bucket.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as Vernon says on his Black Mesa Trust Hopi website, water is life. And with
yeah.
that, yeah. And Mitchie, I'd love to have some comments from you too. And then we'll go to this recorded interview.
Okay.
Vernon.
Well, thank you so much, Leon and Martha, for having me part of this beautiful project. I know this is going to grow more to help all the people around the world. And you know, we are just, every single person is one drop of water. And as we all get together, we're making the ocean and healing this whole planet. So it's just the starting. And I think this is just so beautiful, and I'm so grateful that we can do this together. And thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure. I'm so glad you could all come on today. I really am. I plan to be on a week from today, and we'll bring Zora on and Vernon to do a healing for the water systems as well. And Mitchie, I'd like you to do another healing too. And with that, what I'd like to do is to play a recorded interview I did with Vernon, Hopi elder on the reservation last week, and I'll go ahead, I recorded it on my iPhone. Hopefully it'll work okay.
Hello, friends. I'm with Vernon and Becky. How do you pronounce your last name?
Masayesva.
Masayesva. Thank you. I'll just call you Vernon. That's easier for me to pronounce. I'm here on the Hopi Reservation. It's a beautiful sunny day, and I'm so glad you could come on my show today. Vernon and Becky, how are you today?
Oh, fine. We're doing so far.
Oh, good. Well, one of the things that I've been helping with is helping you guys get water filters, because I remember talking to you here a couple of months ago, and you said that some of the water on the Hopi Reservation here is contaminated with arsenic, and you haven't been able to get clean water supplies. Could you tell my listeners a little bit about that?
Let Becky answer.
Okay, here's Becky, Vernon's wife.
Well, as far as a lot of the availability to water long ago, of course, they used to bring water in from down below. The springs that were located, a lot of the springs have dried up due to whatever reason there might be. But a lot of villages do not today have running water to their homes. They have local water faucets. So everybody, you know, goes to the local area and hauls water from there. So that's still happening here in the United States. We don't have running water. On top of that, there's a lot of there is no electricity to most of the homes in some of these villages. So that is a big problem. I suppose people get used to hauling water, but it would be really convenient if, say, the elders could have access to running water more readily than to have to be hauling it from either down the spring or a local place in the village. So that is a big problem.
One of the problems, too, I think you mentioned to me earlier, was that there's arsenic in the water that they do have access to. Vernon, if...
Yes, there is undocumented evidence of high levels of arsenic in several of the wells that are dug deep into the ground. But they're mainly at First Mesa, Second Mesa villages. And, you know, Hopi villages are built around the mesas, on the tips of the mesas. And First Mesa has three villages. Second Mesa has three villages. Third Mesa has four villages. And then further down west is another village. And it's first and second mesa people that are having arsenic problems, unusually high levels. And they have tried to get the federal government to exercise their trust responsibility to make the water safe, but they haven't done it. And so some local people are now organizing to address the arsenic issue, without the support of the federal government, and including their own tribal government hasn't really done anything to help them. So this is a local grassroots effort, doing whatever they can to make the water safe, safer to drink. And that's where we are right now. Yeah, looking for support so we can purchase water filter for individual homes that have already faucets in their homes. Now, a lot of the villages don't. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to haul the water. Mm-hmm. But they, again, have to go to the wells that have arsenic.
Wow.
So we are, that's the first priority, to do something for individual homes, okay? And then hopefully with the support of our own government, the Hopi tribal government, the groups will get the system into the elementary schools, to the high school, and to the health clinic. Those are situated on first and second mesa.
Wow.
See?
Wow.
And they're under the jurisdiction of the tribe and the federal government, so they have to participate in doing the big projects. And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Forgive me for saying this, Vernon and Becky, but it appears that the federal government really doesn't care. They haven't done anything, have they, in the past?
Well, Indian Health Service, you know, it's a federal
agency
that serves the native peoples, you know, and they know about it. They know about the issue,
right,
but they really have not really done anything, you know, and they have been notified. There has been complaints filed against them, not formal complaints,
right,
you know,
right,
but so far, really nothing definitive has happened. They talk about wanting to help, do something with it, talk.
Yeah.
No action.
Talk is cheap.
Yep, exactly.
And one of the issues that I was told from one of the members of Second Mesa Village is that, yes, they are told that perhaps the amount of arsenic is still what they consider a safe level, but yet the hospitals and the schools are the only ones that are getting the treatment system in place. And so that's what makes the people suspicious is that, well, if they're putting these, you know, units or whatever, these filtering units into the schools and the hospitals, then, you know, they're just allowing us to continue to consume this water. So a lot of people do have to, some of them come here even to my back faucet and fill up their barrels.
Right.
So, you know, they're not trusting what they're being told, that there's safe levels, that it's safe levels, but whatever that might mean.
Yeah, safe levels in terms of safe levels of poison, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know.
Well, the safe levels, the level, according to these people that are complaining, have risen, you know, from lower level to higher level, So the safety level is now set at a higher standard, meaning they don't have to do anything.
Mm. Well, and maybe the water here that's tainted with arsenic should be shipped to Congress and the president's office in Washington, D.C., so they can drink it. If it's so safe, let them drink the water, the arsenic water.
Yeah, why not? Why not? But that's, I think we have a situation, and I'm glad it's happening this way because it's the local grassroots people taking action. That, to me, is a positive thing that people are saying, we got to do something about our government.
Right.
We got to make them behave responsibly. And that applies to all other areas of activities.
Right. Well, I know that Leon McLaughlin's foundation up in Seattle is doing, they're trying to get the money together now. I think they have one water unit. They had a fundraiser last night in Seattle to buy water units for the tribe. So I'll have to check out with them when I get back. But I know they're working hard, and I'm doing what I can on my end.
Well, nobody really knows definitively what is causing that arsenic problem. Mm-hmm. This is my suspicion that the overdrafting of water stored below us in what is called Navajo Aquifer is being overdrafted. Now, an aquifer sits in what hydrologists call a confined aquifer, like in a bowl, you know, covered with saran wrap.
Sure.
So there's no natural recharge from the rainfall into that an aquifer to replenish it. And First Mesa and Second Mesa are situated along the tip of the bowl.
I see.
So the overdrafting, to me, has lowered the water levels to the point where it's contributing to the arsenic issue.
Sure.
And the mining company, of course, is Peabody Energy.
What is Peabody Energy for people not familiar with what they're doing? What are they doing here in the area?
They are mining coal under our land called Black Mesa and selling it to a huge 2,500 megawatt generating station called Navajo Generating Station. The mining started in 1970, and they use huge amounts of pristine water from the confined Navajo aquifer. It is fossil water, uh-huh. You know, put there during the last ice age. Uh-huh. So it's been dated up to about 35,000 years. Shows you how ancient that aquifer is,
right.
And it's pristine, it's mm-hmm. pure, mm-hmm. it's soft. So they use the company that has a contract to take the coal from Black Mesa to Nevada. Use a system called slurry,
okay.
Which means the coal is mined and crushed into powdery substance, and then mix with that pristine water.
Pardon me for interrupting, Vernon, but how much does the company pay for the water?
The federal government, our trustee, Stuart Udall. This is all Stuart Udall's project. Mm-hmm. Now, he's from Arizona, and he was a congressman. And along with all the other Arizona congressional representatives, their major goal since Carl Hayden was there was to bring water to Phoenix and Tucson from Colorado River, you know. Mm-hmm. And Stuart Udall was part of the team. So when he became Secretary of Interior, he was a party to building a Navajo generating station that would use Hopi coal and Navajo coal.
I see.
To generate the power, and the power then runs the pumps, giant pumps, bringing water to Phoenix and Tucson.
I see.
And he, to make it convenient and attractive and feasible economically, he approved, and this price was not negotiated by the Navajo, by the Hopi people. Mm-hmm. You know, it was negotiated by an attorney for the Hopi tribe named John Boyden. And he, John Boyden, is representing an attorney working for the tribe, was the one that did the negotiations to mine the coal and the water. And so he approved a rate of $1.67 per acre foot.
My goodness, per acre foot of water. That's nothing.
26,000 gallons.
Wow, that's nothing.
Fossil water.
So here people on the Hopi Reservation are drinking arsenic water and probably dying from it, while this water is being shipped for less than a couple pennies to way off to Nevada by this company. I see.
Well, Black Mesa Trust was one of the parties, along with Sierra Club, Grand Canyon Trust, and Navajo grassroots people that live around this area. And we were able to shut down the coal slurry pipeline at the end of 2005. That was a major, major victory that we were able to shut the water, and we were able to save around 4,000 acre feet of water per year. You know, that's something we're very, very proud of.
Sure.
Now, the coal is still being mined and shipped by rail to another station called Navajo Generating Station, which provides power for Central Arizona Project Canal that delivers water from Colorado to Phoenix and Tucson. It's still going on. The owners of the generating station have announced, this is the public owners, public-private owners, announced a decision to shut down Navajo Generating Station at the end of 2019. It was a surprise announcement. Took Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation by surprise. See? And they're moving forward with it. So the mining is going to be shut down at the end of 2019 because it's the only source of coal or Navajo Generating Station. So that is a huge, huge problem facing the Hopi people right now. Where are we going to get the money? Because our major only source of income revenue is coal royalties.
I see.
See, royal. So we are in that crisis right now. And so we... of course, are celebrating the closure, because when Black Mesa Trust was organized in 1998, our singular purpose was to shut down the coal mining, thereby save water for future generations.
Yeah.
That was our singular mission when we organized Black Mesa Trust. And so, of course, we're celebrating the announcement that the mining is going to be shut down, and along with it, the water pumping.
Right.
See?
Right.
But again, that left a void. Where is the revenues going to come from?
Sure.
And we also have come up with a transitional plan to mitigate the impact of the closure on Hopi and Navajos. We have proposed a integrated generating combined system that would use natural gas coming from Southern Ute Brothers and Sisters. They have a big gas operation in Colorado. And wind and energy, combination of those three. We'll keep one unit going. Now, Naval Generating Station has three units. Each generates 725 megawatts of power. One of those power plants is owned by the federal government.
I see.
See, they are, they, the purpose was to provide power to transport water from Colorado to southern Arizona. See, and that was accomplished. Congress appropriated $100 million to build one unit. See, so the federal government is deeply was. That's why you that that is why the water was so cheap.
Yeah,
and the coal rate was about 3.3% of the market value.
I hope you've enjoyed that interview with Vernon. He's a tribal elder with the Hopi tribe in Arizona. I was just there last week to visit him. He lives in a beautiful, beautiful reservation. And I want to thank Michiko Hayashi, Leon McLaughlin, and Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network for all of them coming on today to talk about their efforts in getting these water filters to the Hopi. It's not going to cost a lot to get clean water to the Hopi. And I know with everyone's help, we can and will make a difference to these beautiful people. Also, a week from today, as I mentioned before, at 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be bringing in Zora of the Hollow Earth through his through Billy Fay Woodard. And we'll all be doing prayers with Leon McLaughlin, Martha Childress, and Michiko Hayashi, and myself, a healing ceremony for the Hopi. And I know everyone, I really appreciate all your efforts with that. Just quickly, I just wanted to let you know that this Sunday, day after tomorrow, I will be at a spiritual conference at the Evergreen State College Longhouse. It's the Indian Longhouse in Olympia. I'll be there doing readings all day, and they'll have some wonderful speakers there. The cost is $129 for the day, and if you'd like, you have more information at their website at www.frequencyrisingexpo.com. I also wanted to tell you I will be going back to Peru in January, the end of January. And if you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And I want to thank everyone so much who've supported the program, especially Jan Rossini in California for her wonderful contribution to the Hopi Clean Water Project, Bill Bacon from Seattle, Nita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Mary and Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica, as well as the Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. One of the things that I want you all to realize that we are all powerful spiritual beings, and our destiny is to create a much better and much happier planet. One of the things I've learned from Zora and Billy of the Hollow Earth is that we all have this tremendous God power within us, the power of the Supreme Being, if you will, to make this world a better place. And we can use that to do good things. We can heal ourselves. We can heal others. And there's a spiritual side to all of us that if we work together, I know that we can and will create a much better and much happier planet. I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend, and I want to thank everyone so much for listening and supporting Out of This World Radio. It's a listener-supported show, so if you'd like to donate, please go to the donate button on our website at outoftheisworld1150.com. And I hope you all have a beautiful and happy weekend. And thank you again so much for listening today. Bye-bye, everyone.